But we're going to actually just transition straight into the message for time's sake here this morning. And I don't know, it's good stuff. It's something I've been, something guys have been dealing with me forever on. And so what I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. It's something that I still really, really struggle with, you know, something that I obviously still have a really hard time with. Obviously, sometimes from my, you know, stinky attitude. You know, that kind of reveals that you have a problem in this area. And man, especially in our culture, it's something that's embraced. So kind of stick with me here this morning, because this morning we're going to be continuing our message series on reaching out. And in this series, we're learning how to be more effective at, like we sung in that old hymn, you know, telling our story, telling the story about Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us. He's awesome. I mean, it's the most epic story of all time, you know, that God, instead of just destroying us all, chose instead to save us all. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, I'm into the whole, you know, I was never into comic books as a kid, but the comic book movies just, it's stirring something up in me. I love it, you know. I watched Age of Ultron recently, and just, you know, it's fun stuff. It's exciting stuff when the heroes come in to save the day, you know. And everyone knows it's not a clean thing that happens. It gets kind of messy, but I love it. And that's what Jesus has done for us, came in and saved us. As Paul wrote here, though, we're not very good at reaching people with the greatest story of all time. It just doesn't make sense, you know. I mean, it should be the easiest story to tell, the easiest story to live, but we struggle with it. You know, Paul wrote and he said, you know, I become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some, so that some might be saved, you know. And that should be our life story as well. You know, whether it's with our lips or with our lives, we're telling people about Jesus, who he is. So far, we've learned about how Jesus reached out to people where they were. Literally showed up at the guy's workplace and started teaching the Word of God. You know, it just doesn't happen today. But you're there, so it could actually happen. And you don't have to quote book, chapter, verse. You could, you know, it's way easier than we may make it out to be. We also learned about that incredible invitation, right, that is available to everyone to be carried to the King's table, where all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our brokenness is covered by the blood of Jesus. That we're challenged, you know, of course, not to become too busy for Jesus last week, right? Not to become too busy for Jesus, because we don't want to miss out on that invitation. A lot of us think that because we prayed a sinner's prayer at one point, we're good to go. We're covered. You know, I got my relationship with Jesus, and we're cool, you know. I mean, I know him. Jesus taught us something radically different. He talked about fires of hell, gnashing of teeth, you know. He talked about it pretty often in his parables, you know. It's not very G-rated, kid-friendly, you know. Pretty often how his parables ended. He said that, you know, there are going to be people who they accepted his invitation, but when the time came for it, they're too busy. They had every excuse in the book not to be serving him. So he's like, I'm done with it. You know, just go out wherever, find whoever. I don't care if they're blind, lame, crippled. Go out in the country lanes and compel them to come in, that my house might be full. Jesus loves to party, and it's not a party whenever there's only a few people. It's just not the same, you know? So he compelled people to come into his house. And so we're going to be kind of continuing that theme of being too busy for Jesus. So we're going to dive in this morning to life where most of us are. Hectic, busy, never enough time to get things done. You know, I know I tell Becky at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't feel like I did anything. I mean, I was busy nonstop from the time I woke up to now. And I feel like I didn't even get anything accomplished. You know, most of us feel that way most of the time. You're just busy, 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 busy. Life's hectic. There's so many things that we're responsible to accomplish in a single day. And beyond our routine responsibilities, there are the countless troubles that we encounter in life, right? I mean, cars break down, water lines break, sickness creeps in. There are so many things, you know, that unexpected bill that you received in the mail that happened. Some of us are, you know, we didn't expect the taxes, you know, to be due this year. It's like, man, I thought they'd forget about it this year, you know? But it's true. I mean, unexpected things happen. And not only are we so busy just trying to take care of what we're supposed to take care of, something comes up unexpected and it just like breaks you. It just smashes you down. And you're like, I'm at my breaking point. I don't know how much more of this I can take. Right? Most of us have been there. So how can we possibly juggle all of these life issues, including the unexpected things? And then we turn to God and he's expecting us to also serve him. And to, you know, not that he needs anything, you know. God doesn't need us to do anything for him. In fact, anything that we do for him, he already gave us to begin with. I mean, when we sing worship, we're just singing back using everything he's already given us. But there's something, you know, that as a parent, there's something that blesses you, you know, whenever your kid I'm sorry, kind of, whoop, I'm going to take a rabbit trail here. You know, every year, the kid at the elementary school, they do this little, like, Christmas workshop thing, you know? It's like you give your kid $20 and they bring you back, you know, dollar store junk, you know? But there's something that just blesses you about it. They're so excited about it because they went and they picked out this one thing for you, and, you know, it's, I love it, right? Right, Bethany? Yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting for her. It's exciting for me, and I paid for it anyways, and I probably wouldn't have bought it if I had the choice, you know, but it blesses you whenever your child, like, you know, thinks outside of themselves, you know. I'm telling you, it's the same with our Heavenly Father. We are so selfish, always focused on us. When we go to God, we want Him to serve us. You want to talk about it, something that's backwards here, you know. If you really stop and think about it, who are we to make demands of Jesus? He's the one that is owed something, and that's our everything, right? But He said to do it. He said, ask and you'll receive. Seek me and you'll find me. Knock and I'll open the door for you. He wants to be pursued that way, you know? So there's something powerful about us choosing to focus on Him, and us choosing, not only that, but to focus on other people. Because we are so busy and so selfish, whenever you take time for somebody else, man, it just shines that much brighter in this culture and in this world. And that's what we're talking about this morning. But how can we possibly do that? How can we possibly take care of everything we're responsible for and also think of the needs of other people? Think of the needs of the church, of God's body, you know? And the key to all of this, how we can make everything happen, and believe it or not, God actually wants you to enjoy the life that He gave you. God wants you to enjoy life. He actually wants you to enjoy His life. He wants you to have some downtime. Remember the whole creation story? He worked 6 days and He took a day off. Even though He wasn't tired, He didn't need it. Right? The Sabbath wasn't created for man, but man the Sabbath. You know, that whole teaching of Jesus in the New Testament still. It was a commandment to take a day off, right? God wants you to have some buffer time. You time. God actually wants you to have you time. It's not a selfish thing. You need to get recharged and refueled so you can take care of all the other troubles in life. But how do we make all this happen? Well, Jesus taught us that it comes down to this one word, and that's priorities. Priorities. This is how we make everything fit into a day and still have some left over at the end of the day. It's actually possible if we do things God's way. You know, if you run into the issues that I run into, I know personally, and you come to the end of the day and you're just so strung out and you're just like, I got a million other things to do tomorrow, then that's a good, you know, symptom that you're not doing things God's way. Because God said, unless, I love quoting this psalm, but, you know, you got to put it into practice and live it out. Unless the Lord builds the house, the workers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, those who stand watch, they stand watch in vain. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life and find out that I did it all in vain. You know, I was just beating the air. I was just, you know, wasting my life away. I was busy, but I never actually accomplished anything. You know? And so we have this balance in life. And this balance is all solved by priorities, what we choose to do in our lives. Now, if you turn in your Bible, Matthew chapter 6, and that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time. We're going to start in verse 25. But in every translation of the Bible that I could find, you know, and I went through about 20 different translations of the Bible, and I love it because this never, ever, ever happens. Whether it's a direct word-for-word translation or whether it's an idea for an idea translation, no matter what it was, I can't speak some of the other languages that the Bible's translated in, so I can't tell you about those ones. But every English translated Bible, if you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, you're going to find a divider, first of all. You're going to find a divider by means of either a large space or a heading, and it looks like this. Do not worry. That's what most of the Bibles say. You know, don't worry, or, you know, cast your cares on Him, or, you know, it depends what translation of the Bible we have. You have this divider between verses 25 and 24. And in every translation of scriptures that I've looked at, I found this word right here. Therefore. Therefore. Therefore I tell you. And we love to start there. We start with therefore. But I once heard this amazing preacher, this man that just really, man, he gets down and dirty, knows how to preach the word of God, you know, in a real relevant way. Dave Barrett, you know, he said that when you see the word therefore, you've got to see what the word therefore is therefore. And it clicked in me. And every stinking time now, I will never study the Bible the same. I'm like, that's wrong! Because guess what? Not only did God not put that little verse in there, not only did God not put that chapter in there, Mankind added those so we can be on the same page. But we also added these subtitles, these headings. When Jesus was preaching this, there was no break there. There was no pause there. There was a common thought, a common idea, and we went and broke it. Okay? So we're not going to understand this unless we go back a little bit. And this steps on everyone's toes, including my own. Go back just one single verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And Jesus said, if you can read it up here, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And of course, the money's capitalized M. Other translations, it's mammon. It's the spirit of money. It's the greed, the lust for more, you know? I know I like watching Shark Tank, and, you know, they have this other show on called Greed, and it's like, you know, there's rich, and then there's filthy rich, you know? And that's what we're talking about. This lust, this greed, you know? Money's amoral. Money's neither good nor bad. It's all in what you do with it. And I don't want to know where half of my bills have been. I don't even want to think about it, you know? So I'm not preaching against money, I'm not preaching against wealth, but there's this lust, this greed. And this is a rabbit trail that's going to take us back, but you got to understand this. This is tied together. This is a common thought. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you." What's the therefore? Therefore, it's there because Jesus is like, you know, you can either serve one or the other. You're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. You just can't. It just can't. Those are words of Jesus. You can stone me if you want, but that's what Jesus said, you know? And you don't have to stand before Steve in the end. You got to stand before Jesus in the end. He's the judge, the only one worthy to judge. He said, you can't serve both God and money. Therefore, right, you know? And I'm going to tell you what I've found, the number one way to motivate people, and this hurts me bad personally because I've been there, you know? I'm just going to outright say it, and I'm sorry for all the toes I step on. The number one way to motivate people, even in the church, throw out some cash. If I put a dollar sign on every one of those positions out there, I'd have people knocking on my door. Why? Because there's two positions in the church that happen right now. Mine and the cleaning crew. And guess what? Those are both paid, right? To get people to serve, throw out some money. Who are you really serving then? Because you can't serve both God and money, God and mammon. It's one or the other. That hurts, you know. I'm telling you, it hurts Jesus more than it hurts our feelings, you know. Money talks, all right? That's the cliche that we use. But it's amazing how quickly I can't possibly fit that in. Oh, money? I'll do some rearranging. I'll make it happen. I can find time for that, right? And we're all guilty of it. We are all guilty of it. And again, this isn't a message against money. This isn't a message against working. Listen, you've got to work. You've got to provide for your own needs. You've got to provide for your own family. Paul, who preached and said that he became all things to all men so that some might be saved, guess what? He made tents so that nobody had to flip a coin for him and his ministry's needs. He worked and he ministered, okay? So the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, that's a rule that he laid down. I'm not preaching against hard work. You'll find that my life and the life that we instill into our kids, it's anything but that. You work. Work before play. They hate it. I say it all the time. Work before play. You get your chores, you get responsibilities done. You work hard in life because nobody owes you a thing. You know, you've got to work. But Jesus taught this. He taught it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? And the choice is ours. Because if we back up further in this chapter, Jesus taught that we either store up what? Treasures for ourselves in heaven or on earth. You know, there's a balance here. Yes, you gotta work to eat and to provide for all your needs and everything, but there's a balance, and that balance is not really balance. It has nothing to do with balance, it has everything to do with priorities. So, what's the number one thing we worry about in life? Money! The number one thing that causes me stress in life is that unexpected bill that comes. You know, that call from MVS Security of like, we've been sending your bill to Pastor Curtis Stitt, and we haven't received a penny in the last 6 years. And I've got the invoice back there to prove it. I'm like, ah! Well, God, now I know why you provided that extra money. I thought it was so we could bless somebody, but it's just, he was providing for our needs. But you know, none of us are exempt from that call or that piece of mail, right? You know, none of us are exempt from that. And it always comes as a surprise. It causes us to worry, right? It shouldn't. That's what the therefore is there for. If your priorities are right and you're serving with the right motive, then you're not going to worry about those things. So that's what the therefore is there for. So Jesus goes on. He's like, you can't serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Easy to say, Jesus. All right? Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food? The body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? See, this is a priority issue. Not just a priority in time and money, a priority in how you see yourself. You think Jesus loves that crow out there that annoys the living daylights out of you more than he loves you, because he cares for its needs. There's always a dead carcass laying on 85 for him to chow down on, you know? God provides for that crow every time, and yet we don't think he's going to provide for us. Why is that true? Because we worry. If you're worrying, then you don't think God's got this. You think you're responsible to take care of this issue. Again, priorities and how we even view ourselves. Because Jesus said, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? These are the words of Jesus in red. But there's medical evidence that you steal hours away from your life from worrying. It has a huge impact on your body. Your body was not created by God to worry. You're breaking yourself. You're using your body in a way it was never designed to be used for when you choose to worry. We were not designed to carry that kind of stress. In verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I, anyone amen that? I don't have to plant dandelions. And yet I got a golden field. And you mow it down. A couple days later, you got another golden field. They don't have to worry. You know, grass doesn't have to worry about how it's going to be decorated. It takes care of itself. In verse 29, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God chooses to clothe the grass, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Where's our faith at? Where is our faith if we are choosing to worry about these things? And verse 31, so don't worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? I'm telling you what, amen, Jesus, because every time I ask my wife that, what are we going to eat? It never gets anywhere. I don't know, what do you want? I don't know, what do you want? Jesus said, don't ask it. It's like the song that never ends. It's dangerous to stay away from it. Don't ask, what are you going to eat? What are we going to drink? What shall we wear? That's another one. Just stay away from it. What your wife wears, Jesus said it, okay? Don't question it. Don't just, it's I'm telling you, it's a danger zone there. and we continue on to verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. They're not wrong. They're not immoral to want decent clothes to wear, okay? God knows you need them. And he goes on. And he says in verse 33, and here's where priorities are preached by Jesus. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Right? Priorities. If you put God first, God knows. Guess what? God knows what you're going to need tomorrow, and you don't even know what you need tomorrow yet. He knows that bill's in the mail, and he's already made a way. He knows. He's not surprised by anything. So let's put a little faith in him. And how do we put our faith in him? We'll get down to this here later. It's like one of those paradigms in the kingdom of God. It sounds wrong, but it's right, and we'll get to it. So in verse 33, he said, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. In verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. It's easy for you to say, Jesus, you know. But then Jesus goes on and he's like, I know it's difficult to do. He said, because tomorrow is going to worry about itself. Because each day has troubles of its own. Jesus is like, I hear you, I feel you, I understand you. Every day comes with its own troubles. You have no idea what's going to come day to day. But Jesus said, you can guarantee it's going to have some trouble. It's going to have some trouble. But he's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If you put his kingdom first, then all these other things are going to be added to you. They're all going to be given to you as well. It's a promise of Jesus. Hold him to it. Hold him to it. But I'll tell you what, he's going to hold you to it too. He's going to be like, you're really putting my kingdom first? Right? And tell me, we've been there. I worked the full-time, part-time, school part-time, ministry part-time life. Fell asleep at the wheel a couple times living that life. But God's kingdom came first. You know, my workplaces, they wanted to fly me everywhere, you know, so that I could show off this nice software I wrote. They knew God's kingdom came first. If I fly on a Sunday, it's a Sunday afternoon. You know, I'm going to be there Sunday mornings. And I'll tell you, whenever you actually work, your workplace will honor you because they see the fruit in that. It's awesome. It's powerful what happens. And I can bring in people and give you testimonies of those things that happen. It's powerful when you put God's kingdom first, what he will do. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf. He will add all these things to you as well. I am not a prosperity gospel preacher. You can ask my family. We do not live in prosperity. We live in a double-wide trailer, okay? And we have a crawl space. We don't even have a basement. And I hate it when things break down. And we don't pay someone to fix things. I crawl under there and I fix it, you know? We don't live in prosperity. But at one point, the Lord doubled my salary because I honored him and I served underneath an employer that lied about what I did, took credit for everything I did. And it all came to light. I didn't even have to say a thing. God went ahead of me. It's awesome. God does these things. And you hear testimony after testimony all through this room of how God has done those things. When you honor him and you put him first, he takes care of you. It's not when you want it and how you want it sometimes, but when he does, you're left in awe. You're like, wow, God, you're good, you're faithful, you're true. Okay, so what Jesus teaches here is, of course, priorities, right? You know, you can't serve two. Oh, yeah, I highlight all that. What he teaches here is priorities. His kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else last. You know, he acknowledged our many, many needs, but he reminded us that all these things will be given to him if we put him first. So this becomes not an issue of how much time we have in our day, not an issue of what circumstances have come our way that we expected or unexpected. It rather becomes an issue of priority. And our priorities can be understood, and I want to encourage you here from this quick little object lesson. And some of you may have seen this before. Bear with me. You'll get to see it again. And you've probably never seen it in this way, all right? So a little object lesson. Okay. I like to amuse myself. My wife and kids will tell you that, you know. It's like living in a musical. You just never know what's going to come your way. Okay. So, object lesson. This is our day, okay? This is our day. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. All of us do. Now, you're responsible for things I'm not responsible for, and I'm responsible for things that none of you are responsible for, right? I mean, it's life. But we all have the same 24 hours that God has ordained in a day. That's what he chose. He chose to give us that. And he chose to give us a week, but only 6 days to do the work in it. He chose, you know, he set things up. And those things apply to all of mankind for all of eternity, you know? Well, not all of eternity, but for all of our what do you call the opposite of eternity? For all of our time constraint and space constraints, you know, 24 hours, that's all you have to do it in. Now these large rocks, these actually have the same water displacement. Okay, the river rocks behind my house, I couldn't find two identical, so they look different, but I tested it, I put them down in, and they displaced the same amount of water, okay? So this is not an optical illusion trick, okay? These I bought from Dollar Tree, so they, you know, they're all the same package. They're all identical. But these larger rocks, they represent something that Jesus calls us to do. Jesus and his kingdom and his righteousness. Okay, this can be time in prayer. This can be time in worship. This can be time serving in the church, you know, community outreach events, that kind of thing, you know, whatever it is. This is his kingdom and his righteousness. Okay, that's what these large rocks represent. The smaller rocks represent, and I made myself notes because I ran out of time this week to memorize everything. These represent things that we're solely responsible for in our lives. That includes things like brushing your teeth, showering, paying your bills, putting food on the table, you know, which of course requires you to work. You know, that falls under these are bigger issues of life. These are things that only you can do. No one else is going to do it for you, okay? I know we live in the United States, but I'm telling you that no one else should be working for you to put your food on the table, okay? All right, so these are things we have to do. Raising our kids, right? Many of us just want someone else to raise our kids for us. We're tired of them. They annoy us, you know. And I'm not saying that from personal experience. I love my kids, you know, and I would never choose anyone else to raise them. But sometimes you feel like you're screwing them up, you know. Dave, you just sent Hunter off to college. Do you question some things? Like, what is wrong with this boy? Did I do it right? I don't know. Sometimes I look at my kids and I'm like, oh, I could have did a better job. I should have done this. I should have done that. Okay, anyways. Things that you are solely responsible for. Back to the point. These pebbles, they represent things that we desire to do in our lives. These includes hobbies, hunting, fishing. I say that they fall into this category. My wife says that they're this. You don't have to do it, okay? You know, we go back and forth all the time. Sports, vacations, just all the extra things, they're not evil. God wants you to enjoy His life. But these are things you could put off and still survive, okay? You put off showering for a week, just don't do it. It's nasty, okay? That's this category. You put off that fishing trip for a week, you're going to survive, okay? Your life's going to continue going on. It's not that big of a deal, all right? You know, those are those things. Sand. These things represent our hopes and our dreams. These are future desires like a new house or a new car, learning a new trade, going back to school, finding a new career, you know, improving your life in some way. These are hopes and dreams, you know, things that you want to buy for yourself, something you want to do, you know. These are just future life goals, you know, maybe starting your own business or whatnot. And then last we have this quart of water. And what this represents are all the unknowns in life. Those things we talked about early, it might be a tragic accident, might be the loss of a loved one that you assumed had insurance and they have no life insurance. Things that just come and they just break you. And they always come from nowhere. You never see them coming, right? That's why I chose water. These are things you never see coming in life, you know, but yet they come our way. The tragic loss of a job, an illness, a sickness, you know, maybe, I mean, you know, some of us experienced a fire in your home. You lost everything. I mean, you just don't see it coming. There's no way you prepared for it, you know. That's what this represents. These are all things that we share in common. You're going to experience all these things in life. All of us are. And we've only been given 24 hours in a day to deal with all these things. And, you know, and so we need to find a way to fit all of these things in. But what most of us have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to put our hopes and dreams, right, above our needs. We think that we got to start that new business now, you know. So we're going to go out and get a business loan, and we're just going to make it happen, right, you know. We have these hopes and dreams. That new car, I want to wait for that. And guess what? The bank over there, they're going to lend me the money, right? That house, nobody has time to save up 20% of my $250,000 home that I want. So we're going to borrow it, you know. We do these things. We get life out of whack. You know, and then all the things we enjoy doing, you know, it's like, well, you know, I feel like I need to go hunting and fishing and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it's usually about this time that, you know, you're like, yeah, you know, I'm doing things and then something unexpected comes your way, right? This is usually what happens. Something unexpected comes your way. And you can see that day's starting to get pretty full. You're starting to feel kind of stressed. Because the next thing you know, it's like, what? I have to pay my electric bill? And I use air conditioning this season, and so it's a little higher than I expected. Or what? It actually gets cold in western Pennsylvania in the winter? I have to buy fuel oil? Are you kidding me? You know? Right? These things come as surprises. My kids have a birthday? Christmas? Christmas comes every stinking year? And it becomes, and we try to fit these things in, you know? And the next thing you know, it's like, and then the pastor's like, Jesus said you gotta put first His kingdom and His righteousness, and how in the world am I going to do that, Pastor? Look at this. How am I going to do it? You have no idea how hectic, how busy my life is. I got so much going on, I don't even know night from day. There's not enough time in a day for me to do what I'm responsible for, right? I feel like if I do one more thing, I'm going to break. Right? One more thing, Pastor, and I am done. Right? That's what happens. And I'm telling you, if you look around you, this is what people look like today. Their life is chaos. I don't know whether this is extra or required. I don't know, you know, I don't even, I'm telling you, this is bad. Once your kids get into the teenage years, you're like, I don't even know where my kid's at. I have no idea. I'm calling their friends, hey, where's my kid, you know? It looks hilarious, but this is the life of people around you. This is the culture we live in. Chaos is normal. You can chit-chat to each other and like, oh yeah, I know, it's so bad, and blah, 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 you know, and you kind of laugh with each other. This is not a laughing matter. This is serious. You were not designed to live this way. And that's why, take a look at healthcare in our world today. You know, it's not just the government and the insurance companies and the healthcare providers that have things messed up. Who out there is teaching and preaching healthy lifestyles, eating healthy, managing your time wisely, proactive? We want a pill to fix our problem. I don't want to change my life. I like my chaos. You know, you give me a pill so that I can put all, oh, don't do that, put all that together. You give me a pill, doctor, so that I'm not stressed. You give me a pill so my anxiety levels go down, okay? I got to do all this. So you make it happen, right? I'm telling you, it's the world we live in. Ask anybody. We want someone to fix this for us. Jesus is like, there's a different way to live, right? You know, we're all given the same amount of time in a day. Jesus said, I'm going to give you 24 hours to get things done, right? He's like, you put me first, right? Here. And then you take care of all the things you're responsible for. You know, you got to put food on the table. You have to work. You got to, you know, do all these things and whatnot. That was just dumb. Anyways, I want you to enjoy life. Double portion of joy, right? We can actually have all these things that we love and we enjoy. Jesus is like, you know what? I want you to have hopes and dreams because my plans are greater than you can ever ask, think, or imagine. Right? You know, my plans are not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. He wants us to have plans and dreams, right? He wants us to do all these things. And then whenever the unexpected comes our way, guess what? It's not unexpected to Him. He saw it coming. He knew it was coming. He already made a way where there was no other way. And amazingly enough, like, you know, these are all the exact same, they take up the exact amount of space, but when you get your priorities backwards, look at this. You can get it all done in a day. It does all fit into your life, even the unexpected things, right? So that's where we're at. And, oh yeah, Motorola has cool little tips and tricks. Anyways, clean up my mess here. So anyways, getting back to the point, Jesus said put His kingdom first, His righteousness first, and all these things will be added to you. If you do things His way, then you have enough time for everything, even the unexpected things in life. You have time to enjoy life. You have time. You have time. You have time. You have time. We went to a conference recently, and the guy really challenged me because he said, you know, so often we tell people, I'm sorry, I just didn't have time for that. I just didn't have time for that. He's like, we really need to stop lying to ourselves and to other people. What we need to start telling people is, I didn't make time for that. You're not important enough to me to make time for. Something else was more important than you. If we started saying that, because that's the reality, we would change our behavior. We would change the way that we live. I mean, that guy just threw me for a loop. Because I'm always saying, I just didn't have time for that. Sorry. You know, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. We all have the same issues that we deal with in life. But if we prioritize our lives correctly, by what God created all these things to set this example, you know, we can do it. And I love it because as time goes on, everything's settling, right? These unexpected things, the water, it's settling. And there's actually extra space in that day. What broke that? It fit all that and then more. It's the same 24-hour day. So let's continue on here. Putting God's kingdom first. Now, putting God's kingdom first makes sense. But I don't know about y'all, but I struggle with, what does that mean? Putting God's righteousness first. And we're going to end on this note. Because this is far easier than you actually think or realize. Putting His righteousness first. Theologically speaking, let me give you a preface here. Our righteousness, for the sake of the kids in the room, the Bible says that they amount up to filthy rags. Right? the monthly filthy rags, you know, that women deal with. That's literally what the Word of God says that our righteousness is. So our righteousness comes from Christ alone, right? It comes from Jesus. He alone is righteous, and He gives us His righteousness. He imparts His righteousness because of His blood that was shed on the cross and through our faith. We put our faith in Him. He makes us righteous. We can never be righteous. He makes us righteous, okay? So don't get me wrong in all that. But believe it or not, God wants His righteousness to be expressed. He wants His righteousness to be seen in our lives. So that's what I'm talking about. You were made righteous by Jesus alone, okay? But how do you express that righteousness? How do you live it out? It's actually not as challenging or as stretching as you may think. Jesus told us that as well. After all, think about this. I mean, you cannot possibly meet all the needs that are around you. You can't possibly do it. If you look at the needs in our immediate community here, I'm talking little New Mine that you drive through in 2 seconds. All of us together could never meet all the needs of the people here in this tiny little community. They are tremendous. Okay, but every one of us can wake up every day and kind of ask, you know, what is something I can do today? What is something that I can do to bless someone else today? What is the need that I can meet today? One thing. Just wake up every day. One thing. What's one thing I can do for someone else today? Everyone can do that. Everyone can do that. Everyone can wake up each day asking this. Because Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, he said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves." Again, priorities. You still have to take care of all your stuff, but value others first. Put others first, okay? You see, it's not more or less time. It's not more or less to do. It's just priorities. Prioritize other people above yourself. Prioritize their needs above your own. And in verse 5, he says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus." And he goes on to say, Jesus took on the very nature of a servant. He served the needs of everyone around him. He lived in the flesh, and yet he never had need. Yet he was able to meet everyone else's needs. Why? Priority. What was he found early in the morning doing? Praying. Off with his Heavenly Father. He prioritized his kingdom first. When he walked around, guess what? Jesus had to buy food. Jesus had a ministry to run. He had finances to operate. He had expenses. He traveled. He had expenses. But we never read about those things happening. What we read about is while he's out and about in these communities, while he's out and about in these communities, he was serving. He was meeting the needs of the people around him. And in our relationships with one another, we're supposed to have that same mindset, that same attitude. Meeting the needs of others around us while we're meeting our own needs. It's possible. It's awesome. So, you know, what needs to change in our lives, what needs to change in our lives isn't so much our daily routines, but rather the mindset and the emphasis while we're living our life. While we're going to work, while we're going to Walmart, while we're going to Aldi, while we're at the Dollar General, you know, while we're at the sports event with our kids. While you're doing your daily routines, it is simply a mindset change that happens. His kingdom first, His righteousness first, and then all these other things will be added to you. Priorities. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus said so. But choosing our focus and emphasis in priorities is what changes everything, radically changes everything. Think about this example. How much different would a routine task like grocery shopping change if in our lives we chose God's kingdom as priority? God's kingdom is priority. His righteousness first. What would happen if we're going and we're taking care of our own needs, and while we're doing that, we also take care of the needs of other people? I'm telling you, this could radically change. Especially for parents with young children. Going to the grocery store, I remember when I had 3 kids still in diapers and bottles all at the same time. We had them boom, boom, boom. You know? Fertile Myrtle Becky, you know? 3 kids, one after the other. You know? I remember going to the grocery store as toddlers. You know? When they are all 3, it's like trying to put snakes in a bucket, you know, wrangling them together. There were some really, really hard moments, and my wife can tell you that. But we can also tell you that while our kids were still those ages, over and over again, people were just amazed at our kids' behavior. Now, they had temper tantrums every now and then. I'm not saying that it's any different. But when we chose to teach our kids this, when we first got married, you can ask what our honeymoon was. It consisted of us going around praying for people and blessing people. And everything we received, you know, from our wedding, we were giving away to people and stuff. It was an exciting part of our life. We just, you know, other people first. And God always took care of our needs, you know. And I, testimony after testimony of all that stuff. Those are exciting times. I miss those times. Then life got, you know. It has to change. It has to change. Okay, but a grocery store trip with your toddlers, you know how challenging that usually is. But if our kids was following our lead, and I can tell you this from life experience, and you can go down and ask the manager at Dollar General, she will tell you, she remembers, you know, I'm not blowing smoke here, this is for real, this stuff happened. If we train our kids by our example, they would be transformed from whiny, self-seeking temper tantrum throw-ems to selfless evangelists and missionaries wherever they go and whatever they do. Instead of whining because they aren't getting what they want, they would instead pick up the box for that lady that she just dropped it. You know, someone drops something, boom, kids there to pick it up. Hey, you dropped this, you know, here, how can I help you? You know, or someone that's looking for something, they can't find something, you know, they go and they help them. Someone that's struggling to put their groceries in their car, they go and they help them. You know, they're juggling everything. It's like, hey, can I take your cart for you? Little, simple things. You know, you see a young couple and you're like, oh, they're just so in love. Hey, let's pay the bill for them, you know? Little, simple things. Someone struggling to find their change in front of you, you know, they gave all their cash and you can see that they're kind of nervously like, here, quarter, you know? They might not have it. Hand them a dollar bill, you know? Little, simple things. Guess what? That is putting His kingdom and His righteousness first. And I'll tell you, when you train your kids to meet the needs of others before their own, it's a powerful thing. Now, our family isn't perfect, and both grandmas are here to testify to that, that they have some selfish moments where they get whiny, especially when they're tired, you know. I do, too. When I get hangry, you know, hungry or tired, it's bad, you know. We have moments. But the picture of our lives, it ought to be this. Jesus said, if you're prioritizing my kingdom, my righteousness first, everything else will be added to you. So, anyways, these acts are also simple, and most of them don't require any extra time. Most of them don't require any extra time. I'm telling you, if you hand that person in front of you a dollar bill, you're going to save time. Because they're not going to be digging around the whole time, you know? You're actually going to save time by blessing people. And you're going to bless all the people behind you. They're like, come on, I got places to go. Because their lives look like this. Not one of those people behind you think, I could actually help this woman out. I could actually take care of this. None of these people are thinking that way. But your life should look a little different. And then people are going to say, man, your life, you just got it all together. How do you do it all? Your kids are involved in the same things all my kids are involved in, and yet somehow you're making all these things happen. And you still got time for, like, prayer together? What? When we put His kingdom first. And I'm telling you, this is ouching me ridiculously because I'm getting out of balance in life. Wow. Okay. So the good stuff. Matthew chapter 25. Simple acts of kindness. This is heaven or hell, people. This is how serious this is. Your righteousness comes through faith. Your righteousness is Jesus' is given to you through faith. Okay? James said faith without works is dead. And I'm telling you, you ever try to go get money off a dead person? I mean, physically, out of their hand? It just doesn't work, you know? Faith without works is dead. This is heaven or hell. Let's get rubber meets the road here. This is not a cutesy little object lesson, a cutesy little, that's an awesome way that I could live life. Jesus is like, you either live it, or you live this. And in the end, I'm going to be like, see, it's not going to be hard for, Jesus, we think it's going to be so hard for Jesus to judge things. Jesus is going to be like, yeah, sheep, goat, meh. They both, I can't make the difference between a sheep and a goat sound. They sound the same to me anyways. Until they scream. It's awesome watching goats scream. Anyways, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Jesus said this. This is in closing. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and I'll tell you what, come Jesus. Jesus, come soon. With all of His angels with Him, and He sits on His glorious throne. All the nations gathered around Him. And He will separate people, one from the other, as the shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll put the sheep on His right side, and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, remember the king when you're carried to the table? The king will say to those on his right, come on in! You are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance. Take it, it's yours now. The kingdom that's been prepared for you since the creation of the world. Why? In verse 35, because I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I don't know many people here in this church that go around visiting people in prison or visiting the nursing homes and the hospitals. You know what happens when somebody is in the hospital? Pastor Steve, you got to go see them. My grandma, she's in the nursing home. You need to go visit her. You. I'll take heaven. I'll take his kingdom. Man, you're just like cha-ching, 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 cha-ching for me. But I'm telling you, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on something awesome. A blessing. A blessing. Because in verse 37, Jesus goes on. This is how he defines righteousness. Because he said, then the righteous will answer him. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Thirsty, give you something to drink. Stranger, invite you in. Clothes, and I clothe you. When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? King Jesus will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least one of these, you did for me. And then he'll say to those on his left, the others, depart from me, you're cursed. And I'll tell you what, you don't have to get before King Jesus to realize that your life is not blessed. Your life is chaos. Jesus said, your life is cursed. Why? How's Jesus going to bless this? Jesus is like, you know, I got a blessing for you. Well, you're never even going to recognize it. Why would he bless this? He's not going to bless this mess. How can he? He just physically can't. He wants to and he can't. But this life, remember all the scriptures? My cup overflows, right? He can bless this life. Why? Because he can. I mean, I don't have to go into any kind of theological discussion here. He can actually do it. It will actually be a blessing. It will actually pour out into the lives of other people, even the people whose lives are a mess, right? He can bless this kind of life because their priorities are straight. Not because their life has less problems than that life. Not because their life has less, you know, issues they have to deal with than this life. It's just because they got their priorities straight, right? Jesus first, his kingdom first. Then everything else just falls into line. Everything else can be added to you as well, including blessings. And these people, they're also going to answer in verse 34, and they're going to say, Lord, when we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you. Notice, when Jesus quotes, they run it all together. Chaos. I love that. I never caught that before. The Holy Spirit just showed me that. That's really cool. When these people responded to Jesus, they went out and they split out their sentences. When do we see a sick and come and visit you? When do we see you in prison? These people are like, when did... Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Jesus is like, because they don't have time. They don't have time. They're living in chaos. They got to get everything out as fast as they can. He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you didn't do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous, his righteousness first, to eternal life. So Jesus said, eternal torment and punishment, or life and blessing and inheritance. The choice is ours. Which are we going to prioritize? What is our lives going to look like? Priorities. So from this moment on, I know I preach message after message every week after week after week, and I don't know about y'all, but I forget about them the next week. I don't want this to be something that we walk away from here and forget. I want this to be something that we carry the rest of our lives. Which life am I choosing? People come to me for counsel all the time, asking me to clean this up. But I don't see them here Sunday mornings. I think that not only is there coming a day, I keep threatening this to my wife, and I've even mentioned the elders a few times, I think the day has just come that I don't have any time for this. I can't do anything for it anyways. You can't do anything for this life. until they get their priorities straight, forget about it. Unless I see you in church for a month straight, say goodbye to your marriage. Because this happens all the time. Becky and I will meet with people and we'll piece it all back together. And they'll be like, man, this is awesome. And then they stop meeting with us and whoosh. Just get your priorities straight. It's easy to see, because I say Jesus first, but people are like, yeah. We did our devotional you gave us, okay? We prayed Sunday evening together, you know? We did that, you know? This is a lifestyle choice. Jesus first. Because until you get this right, it doesn't matter how many medical doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists you surround yourself with. They may be able to heap you up for a little season of life, but as soon as something else comes, you're just going to break again. Because Jesus said, this is the only way that you can live. I created your life. I created these constraints. So unless you're putting me first, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Wow, so from this moment forward, let us put Jesus first. Let Him be our priority. Let us look for, I'm telling you, just simple ways around you. What can I do to bless someone else? What can I do to serve someone else? And I'm sorry, I don't want to offend all the people that I don't even bother anymore, you know, but you got to get that straight. You got to get priorities straight. So let's do that in life. I mean, your life's going to be blessed. It's just that simple. I can tell you testimony after testimony, whenever there was a church event going on, and this was before we were, you know, in leadership, and this is the same as when we are in leadership. Believe it or not, there are times when we have other things going on in our lives that we could choose over in a church activity, you know? But every time, I can't think of a single time when we didn't choose to go to a life group or go to a Wednesday night service or go to that elder meeting, that we didn't choose to go to that thing that we could have said no to, and we weren't blessed after. We were glad that we went. We were grumbling going, but then we were glad that we went afterwards. And then God took care of the things that we were going to say no to otherwise. God just took care of things. I mean, and now it makes sense why. Just put Him first. I feel like I need to preach more, but it's just that simple. Priorities. Jesus said, put Him and His kingdom and His righteousness first, and all these things will be added to you as well. It's just that simple. So let's do it, right? So I just want to encourage you, you know, as time goes on, starting today, you know, how can we put Him first? How can we seek Jesus first? Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of these. So when you go to the kitchen, ask the other people in the house, anything I can grab you? Yeah. Go to grab a tool at work, you know. Hey, anybody need anything? Go to Aldi and push your cart back. Leave the quarter in. Little, simple things. And those simple acts of kindness just pierce a hardened heart. You could preach at that person for decades, but one simple, selfless act of kindness melts it. The Grinch stole Christmas. When they try to attack you and they realize they can't take your joy, wow, melts the hardest heart and leads them to Jesus. They want to know what that is that you've got. They want to know, why is it that you're dealing with all the same things I'm dealing with, even worse things, and yet you hold it together. You have joy in the midst of pain. You have comfort in the midst of tragic circumstances. It's those things that all point to Jesus, because He's the only way you can have any of that. Wow. So just look for simple ways, simple, simple ways to serve the needs of others. In your relationships with others, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who took on a very nature of a servant. Doing it for the least of these. When you go buy groceries for yourself, pick up a couple cans of fruit and give it to the food pantry. Simple, simple acts of kindness. I'm telling you, New Hope, we are going to be a light unto the world. We're going to be the salt of the earth. We're going to radically transform this community. Because you can never outgive the need that's out there right now. But we can start. We can start. Amen? All right. So Jesus, we are yours. Just have your way. Amen.